So we're starting Psalm 5. So we should have one that says Psalm 5, Lesson 1 here. Anybody not have this, Psalm 5? Anybody need a copy of that? Olga, did you have Psalm 5?
Okay.
All right. Let's turn there in your Bible then, if you would, this morning. And let's pray this morning before we begin. Thank you, Father, for taking care of us. Thank you for each one who's able to be here. And pray for some not feeling 100% and then some still sick, like my wife. We pray you'll take care of them, Lord. And may you guide us, Lord, in this time as we open the Bible together. We pray for the work of the Spirit. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would have your way in on this time and take the word of God and help us to learn and grow and profit from this time that you might speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. And that's probably as far as we will get this morning as we look here. We looked at Psalms 3 and 4 and we said, they seem to be of the time of Absalom's rebellion when Absalom was trying to kill his father and take his throne. And interestingly enough, many of the old Bible commentators will say that this psalm is also from that time. It's also from the time of David fleeing from Absalom. And so a time when it was a desperate time in David's life when he needed the Lord's help. And we have those for sure. it's titled A Morning Prayer in my Bible. It's much about prayer is here, and so I wanted to talk about prayer just for a little bit, and say what the first blank there. What exactly is prayer? What exactly is prayer? I used to pray when I was in a desperate situation. Circumstance, my dad was going to give me a throttling or something. Was going to get in trouble for something I had done, and before I knew the Lord, and of course I'm from an unchurched family, so we never went to church at all, and growing up. So I this business of praying, I used to just pray and call to God, and knew the Lord was there, and. My mom had taught us a few things about the Lord, and that's it. I mean, I called out to the Lord. I talked to him about my problem and asked him to help me, and that's all I knew about praying. And it's not the same as after I trusted the Lord as my Savior. It's not the same as being a child of God and knowing Him. It's quite a difference. What exactly is prayer? It is the communication between the saved and their Father. When I was saved, then now I belong to the Father. He actually was my personal Father in heaven, and not just the God of the universe. And so being able to talk to Him and communicate to Him about my needs. Prayer is using your own words to speak to the infinite, holy God. And, we have a standing in the Lord Jesus Christ whereby we can pray and where we can be accepted in the Beloved, in the Lord Jesus, and where He will hear our prayers. Now, let's go in your Bible to Matthew 6 for a moment. Matthew 6 and verse 5. Chapter 6. It seems like always there has been those who know the Lord as their Savior and those who pretend to have the Lord as their Savior. And back in these times, where our Lord is on earth and is speaking, there were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and some of them knew the Lord and trusted Him by faith and were saved by Him. Others were just merely religious. They had forms and they had things that they did and prayers they prayed, but not the same as knowing the Lord personally. We'll start in verse 6. Let's get some background here. It says, take heed, the Lord says, that you do not your alms before men. What were alms? Tithes, giving, donations, often to the poor, yes, and to charities, things like that. So, don't do them before men. That means so that people know what you're doing. It may mean doing it right in front of them, because you notice it says to be seen of them, the Lord says. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So, now the Lord has taken an example from what religious people were doing and telling His followers, don't do it this way. Don't do what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and other religious people were doing. He said, they're doing it to be seen of men. But He said, if you do it like that, you won't have any reward coming to you in the future in heaven from your Father. You won't have a reward from your Father. Verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before. You couldn't imagine that. Eh? You couldn't imagine you're sounding a trumpet as they went to give some money to someone or to give some money to the house of God, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. Now, the word hypocrite comes from the theater. It literally means an actor, someone just playing a part. And so the Lord says, don't follow those who are just playing a part. They want people to think that they are these people who walk with God and are close to God. He said, but and actually sounding a trumpet before them, because He's referring to things that actually happen, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. They want people to see them. They want people to think well of them. They think they're these great and godly people because they do that. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, when the Lord said they have their reward, He means they have what they were seeking. They weren't seeking a reward from God. They were only seeking the eyes of men. They wanted people to see them. They wanted people to praise them, think they're wonderful. And the Lord says, all right, they've got their reward. They're not getting one from me. They weren't looking for one from me. And so in verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, which is an old way of saying doing something secretly, doing something so that other people don't know about it, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. All right? The Lord will openly bless your life for giving to others. If you're doing it so the Father can see, and if you're doing it for His eyes instead of the eyes of men. Now, concerning prayer. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. All right? He says, they're praying, they do their private praying out in public, so that people can see what great people they are. And so, again, he calls them hypocrites. So, in the notes then, Matthew 6:5, do not be like the religious pretenders, actors in an assumed role. Now, I always say, you know, concerning anything we do, praying, giving, singing to the Lord, if it doesn't mean anything to you, probably doesn't mean anything to God either, because it has to come from the heart, which is the next blank. not their own heart or feelings are being portrayed, because that's what an actor does. An actor, they cry and carry on and act like, but they're just playing a part. It's not them at all. And of course, if that's the way our worship is of the Lord, then it doesn't mean anything. So, not their own heart. Some people even pray in a voice different than their normal one. And seems odd. There is no prayer being heard in heaven that is fake. You've heard of fake news. Well, now there's fake praying. But there's no prayer being heard in heaven, being heard by the Father, if it is fake. So, my note here, private prayer is not for putting on a show in public, hoping to be seen of others. The blank is seen. That's not what private prayer is for. Private prayer is so that we, as a saved soul, as one who knows our sins completely forgiven, can talk to our Heavenly Father through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ and the mercy of God on us. It's a father-son, father-daughter relationship that we have with God. And so we don't want to be praying just hoping that others can see us. If we do that, then whatever reputation we hope to gain is all we'll get. This is all the reward there is. There's not an answer from God. And so the blank is reward there. So if you do your private praying in public just so people can see you, then that's not really praying to God, because you're not really talking to God. You're just talking for the benefit of people who are listening and putting on a show. And God is not interested in being dragged into that. Prayer needs to be sincere and from the heart. And so in verse 6 then, the Lord says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret." That's where the Father is. You can't go anywhere where the Father isn't, or speak a word that he does not hear. So when you go into a place, a closet or some place that is private, our Lord often went off, got up early in the morning, and went out in the wilderness to pray, or up in a mountain to pray, just somewhere where he could be alone. Pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I always think that's interesting. It doesn't say the Father who heareth in secret. It says the Father, he sees you praying. But he doesn't obviously just see that you're praying. He's hearing what you're praying as well. But it's an interesting way to put it. And so in the notes then for verse 6, Matthew 6:6, private prayers be done where no one else sees or hears. That's what the Lord is saying. Don't do your private prayer in front of others. Do it in a private way. The prayer in secret will be answered in a public way. And that's interesting that the Lord makes that point. He shall reward thee openly. You're praying, nobody knows you're praying. But the answers to your prayer and the blessings from praying come openly in your life. Back 100 years ago, or a little bit more, there were often revivals. And, you know, not like today where people have revival meetings and they think that's a revival. But an actual work of the Spirit of God where a number of people would get saved, sometimes a lot of people, sometimes nearly whole towns would come to church and for the most part trust the Lord as their Savior. And the people who were in church who hadn't been talking for years or had some grudge against each other would get things right, and sins would be confessed and lives would be changed. And one church, there was a revival sprung up in the church and a great working of the Spirit of God, and people would come forward on the invitation and make things right with God, and then make things right with each other, and you know, old debts were being paid back. All kinds of things were happening as people were getting right with the Lord and with each other. And And someone, one preacher said, someone has been praying. They did a little bit of checking to see who had been praying, and what had been going on. And so, as it turned out, there was several people actually in that congregation who had been meeting together. Between two farms, they would walk down the road late in the day and kneel under a tree and pray together, two farmers. And no one else knew. But they had been praying for the Lord to work in lives, and God had been answering that. And so they prayed in secret, but the Lord rewarded them openly, and there were a great change in the church and in the town because of the work of the Lord in people's lives. And God answers the secret prayer in a public way. Then verse 7, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Now, first place, vain means, do I have this in my notes? Better look what I have in my notes here. Verse 7. Use not vain repetitions. Now, the word not, use not, vain repetition vain is empty. Pointless. We might say not from your heart, not how you truly feel about that. Many people have taken the Lord's example of prayer, called the Lord's Prayer in the Bible, and prayed that. It's hard to say there's something wrong with praying that. But could you always pray that from your heart, or would it just be from the memory? Because if it's just from the memory, it's more or less vain. Because prayer must be from the heart. And so the Lord says, use not vain repetition. So, a good example of praying like the Lord gave in the Bible there, even that could be turned into a vain repetition. It's better just to talk to your Father. And he says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions. The word use not is a double negative. It means absolutely not. That's the blank. Absolutely not. Do absolutely not just use some form of words when you pray. Now some people were raised with that. Some people, even from Christian homes, were raised with saying certain prayers all the time. I'm not sure that really, from a child's point of view, if you really learn to pray that way. I know I wasn't raised that way, so I can't speak to it. But the Lord's emphasis here is: do not use vain repetitions, like the unsaved, like the heathen do. The heathen are praying, but he said, don't be like them. Absolutely not. So do not use the same empty phrases that so-called spiritual people may use. Use your own words. Pray from the heart. The blank is speak. Speak to your own Father in heaven. The mistake of thinking that answer to prayer is connected to the number of times we say the same words. So, it has nothing to do with the number of times we say the same words. And so, he says, as the heathen do. Now, I noticed that Albert Barnes, who wrote 100 years ago or so, and in a commentary said about this Eastern religion, they are obliged to repeat the same expressions 30 times, other many hundreds of times. The blank is hundreds. To pray the same prayer over hundreds of times. He says, well, that's what the heathen do. And we've all been influenced a little bit from the other religions in the world, but here's what the Lord is teaching. Concerning prayers to the one true God, we should definitely not take lessons from other religions. I want to take lessons from God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to take lessons from God teaching us how to pray. Now, I make a note there about the Savior praying with the same words in the garden. And that's the blank, the same words. When our Lord, just prior to being arrested, and then going to trial and then to the cross to die for us and to die in our place, we find the Lord praying three times in the garden, saying the same words. Every time he went away from the disciples. But they were not vain words. They were certainly words from his heart. And we read that he prayed in agony as the blank. The Lord prayed in agony and sweat great drops of blood with such earnestness that an angel, which is the blank, from God appeared strengthening him. Our Lord, in such earnestness praying as he went to the cross, and even an angel coming and strengthening him. So that wasn't a vain prayer. That was more of a prayer from the heart than you and I have ever prayed or probably ever will pray. The great prayer of the Savior concerning that time. And so back to Matthew 6 then, and you're not going to be heard for your much speaking. What does that actually mean? Heard for their much speaking. What do people think if they pray the same thing over and over, the same prayer?
It's based on their works. They think they're earning.
They think, answer. Exactly.
It's the human nature fallback position of working for salvation, working for earning.
Earning the favor of God, in this case, yes. An answer to prayer. And so you don't earn the favor of God. We have the mercy of God through the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And so, you know, the Lord in mercy hears us. But, and then verse 8, be not therefore like unto them. And so, absolutely, the Lord is encouraging us. Don't take a pattern of prayer from what you've previously known or wherever you came from, or from the hypocrites around you. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. He already knows. Which is my point here. God is completely aware of our needs and knows, this is the blank, what they are at all times, even long before we were born. So the Lord knows what our needs of long before you're born. And I would say from all of eternity, the Lord has known, because that's the knowledge of God. He knows everything from the beginning, from the end. He knows everything. And so he knows the trouble that we get into. He knows when we're going to pray. He knows what we're going to pray when we pray. You say, well, what's the point of praying then? The whole point of praying is that the Lord is waiting for us to ask. He's looking for us to ask him. In the middle there of Matthew 6, 8, that little paragraph, prayer is not to inform him, the blank is, inform him that we have trouble. He knows and therefore cares, is the blank, about our needs before we think to pray. He knows and he cares. So you don't have to earn an answer to prayer. You don't have to inform God and tell him, because he already knows. What's the point of prayer? Well, a great deal of the point of prayer is the time that you spend with your attention on God. Your attention talking to him, your attention communicating to him. Even as a parent, you know, you might know what's wrong or what your child needs, but you might wait for them to ask for help. Might see them trying to tie their shoe. You know, they've learned how to do it, but today they can't do it for some reason. And what do you do? Well, you might jump right in there and tie it for them, or you might just wait for them to ask. and you know, demonstrate a little bit that they need you. And then they become teenagers and they don't ever need you again. But it's nice when they're little and they need you. And may we never become the teenagers of Christians and not need the Lord or think we don't. The Lord longs for us to pray. And so I'll go back here to Psalm 5, where David says in the first verse, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my meditation." So I have in the notes there, the words that we use are important. That's why the Lord didn't want you to use the hypocrite's word that we're just acting apart. Don't use their words. You use words to pray. He says, "Give ear to my words," and in Psalm 5:1. Also note that prayer is an indicator, is the blank. Prayer is an indicator of something, an indicator of a true love and closeness to God. There are several things we could look at about prayer. We could say, number one, do you love to pray or do you find it a chore? If you're finding prayer to be a chore, the blank is chore. If you're finding that prayer is only a chore, then that is an indicator of whether or not we are walking with the Lord or not. Probably not if we're finding it to be a chore. Number two, does your mind wander from prayer to the things of the world? We're praying, but in the middle of praying, we find our thinking about all kinds of other things, and then it's like, oh, yeah, I was praying, and we get back to it. And do we have to constantly bring our minds back to prayer? So if we're constantly wandering away and other things are occupying us, are we really praying or are we just going through motions there? The other possibility is, or during the work day in the world, do our minds wander from our duties so that we pray to God and wish that we had more time to talk to Him? There's quite a difference. You know, you've got time to pray. Do we take time to pray? David mentions here that God would hear His voice in the morning in Psalm 5 and verse 3. He was taking time to pray. And how do we find our time to pray? Because that's an indication of where you are with the Lord. Where are you in your walk with God as a child of God? Since you've been saved, do you find it easy to pray? Do you find that it's you know, just something you can naturally do? or is it difficult? I find if I'm close to the Lord, it's more difficult not to pray. It's difficult to be busy and occupied all day, and then I'm getting in my truck to drive home, and I finally have a chance to really pray, and just so grateful for that time. So to be right with God and close to Him is to enjoy, the blank is, talking to Him. To enjoy talking to Him. If you're right with God, you enjoy being with God. You enjoy talking to your Father in heaven, and He enjoys talking with you. Prayer is intensely personal, the blanks, personal, for you to tell God things that you would tell no one else. Intensely personal. You can be closer to your Father in heaven than you can be to any other soul in this world. And so we go back in your Bible to Psalm 5, if you haven't. And look at what is said here exactly. To give ear means to broaden the ear with the hand. Like this. This is giving ear. What was that you were saying? And long before they had the hearing aids that the pastor needs, they just used the hand. So, used of God hearing prayer to listen closely to everything that is said. So, to give ear means that God is He's paying attention to every word we're saying. And David is asking the Lord. It's a difficult time for David. It's a time of a bit of uncertainty as to what would happen with Absalom and his concern for him as well as his concern for winning the war. But give ear to my words, he says, O Lord. He begins his prayer with this plea. Now, words is just something that is something said, the words we say. We should choose our words carefully and use reverence toward God, which means to treat him with fear, is the blank, honor and respect. Treat God with fear. There's something wrong with people who say they're saved, but talk about God with no more respect than they would talk about me or anyone else in this world. Yes, you know, God is our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ is our friend, the Holy Spirit is that person who dwells within us. But, of course, we have a friendship with him. But that friendship, you know, it's not equal. I'm still a sinner, saved by grace. But, you know, and I'm talking to the one who's holding every atom in this world together and in charge and in care and in power of everything. And not only that, but far beyond that, who is holy. So that the one thing that sticks out about God of heaven is that there's a constant repeated statement. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And you know, so astounding is his holiness. So that... So that we even do not fully understand, because we live in such a dirty old world. But we should be careful and use respect with God to treat him with fear. And so from Ecclesiastes 5:1 says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. What's he talking about? He's talking about the worship of God in his day, in Solomon's day. And keep thy foot means to pay attention to what you're about to do. And so when the blank is about to do there. The worship of God is what we're, you know, when you come to church, be more ready to hear what God has to be more ready to listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying than to just, you know, just blab on about things that don't matter. Give the sacrifice of fools. That's what it's talking about. It's not about people who just talk and, you know, it's more or less pointless or meaningless what they're saying. Pay attention to what we do when we go into the house of God. For they do evil. And in the notes there, the lost think that they honor God when they do not give him either repentance or faith. Well, we do not honor God if we do not give him you know, the turning of our lives to him in the first place to be saved, that complete surrender to him, and the faith that goes along with that, the trust that we express as we ask the Lord to forgive our sins and save us. Just speaking with someone this week, telling a little bit about me being saved and you know where I was saved and saved in church. We listened to Billy Graham on the radio. We listened to Rex Humbard on television a little bit, but you know, for years hadn't gone to church. Well, my whole life hadn't gone to church, and the Lord got a hold of my life with the gospel. I remember as I was driving the old Alice Chalmers WD, that thinking, you know, I'm going to drive this tractor someday till I drive it right into hell. And of course, I didn't mean, you know, I'd drive the tractor right into hell, but that's where I was going. And even as a teenager, I knew that. I knew I was lost in my sins and needed the Lord. And when it came to me being saved, it was a surrender thing, because some of these people, you know, even Billy Graham would have people come, and they wouldn't usually have the prayer that they would lead the people in on television, but Rex Humbard would, and I have prayed that prayer in my mind but still not get saved, because I wouldn't give the Lord my whole life. I wanted the Lord to save me, but I still wanted to do what I wanted to do, and that doesn't work. And I found forgiveness of sins, and I found my soul saved when I completely surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was saved. Kneeling under a hickory tree in the back of the farm, and did business with God. And the only verse I knew was, he came into his own, John 3. He came to his own, or John 1, 11 and 12 rather. He came to his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. And to be a child of God, he gave the power, the right to become the sons of God if we would believe on his name. And I claimed that verse and that promise that I would be a child of God. As I was believing on the Lord to forgive me and save me. But we need to be respectful as children of the Lord. Now you know the Lord is your Savior. And know what his forgiveness is really about. I remember the load being lifted off of me. I remember the feeling of that, you know, of the weight of sins being taken off of me. And quite a different prayer than some of the other prayers that I prayed because I had trouble. And wanted God to help me when I wanted the Lord to be my Savior. The Lord says, "Ye shall seek me and find me, when you search for me with all your heart." That's why I couldn't get saved before. I wouldn't search him, seek him with all my heart. I wanted him to save me. I prayed the prayer, asked him to save me, but he didn't save me because it wasn't essentially a prayer of faith. It was, you know, I wanted him to bring me forgiveness of sins, but I didn't really want to be a child of God. And live for him and surrender my life to him and give my whole self to him. When I was willing to do that and seek him with my whole heart, then I found him, just like the Bible promises. Ecclesiastes 5:2, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few." The word rash, "be not rash with thy mouth," means uttered with too much haste or too little reflection. The word is too there. In too big of hurry, rather than being careful to reflect on who we're talking to. God is in heaven, therefore he ought to be approached with carefully weighted words. Careful words, because of what we are. We're sinners saved by grace. We're the frail creatures of dust, the Bible says. We should worship God who is the Spirit, and worship him in spirit and truth. And in light of that, I just want to turn over to John 4:23 for a moment. Our Lord is dealing with this woman, John 4:23. This woman of Samaria at the well. He says to her in verse 22, he says, "Ye worship you know not what." She had a form of worship of some kind. Some collection of some things that were from God, but other things of pagan religion. He says, "You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Absolutely, salvation is through the Jewish people. The Savior came who is the Savior of the whole world. But he says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Father seeketh worship. He's seeking those who worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit, spirit can be a reference to the Holy Spirit, but often it can be a reference to the attitude in which we are worshiping, and in truth. The Father is seeking. Is he not also seeking for us to pray, and to pray in the work of the Holy Spirit, to pray in the cooperation with the Spirit of God as we pray? And we'll look at that a little bit later, but not today because we're running out of time. But I always think this is an amazing statement. The Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so any worship that is just going through motions, or is it just saying words, that's not worshiping God at all. God is looking for something real out of our lives, and a real prayer from our hearts. Real consideration of him in worship, as to who we're talking to. And so give ear to my words and consider my meditation. And I wish we could have got a little further. I'm sorry, I should have made a little more progress there. But Lord willing, next time we'll finish that all up. And we want to learn some things about praying and refine our own praying to please God with what we're doing as we looking to the Lord to answer our prayers. We certainly want to worship him in spirit and truth. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the scriptures and the privilege that is ours to look in the Bible. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us and help us to respond to the things we see in the scriptures. That we would not be as hypocrites were and still are, I suppose. But we'd be careful, Lord, as we worship you and serve you. And we would have a response to you that is pleasing to you of prayer and faith as we seek your help in life and look to you to do things that we need you to do, that only you can do for us. And may you bless us that our times of prayer would be what you describe here, Lord. They would be openly rewarded. We would openly see you doing things because we have taken time to ask you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.